asked you today to boil your faith life down to living out three things, what would you say? You don't have to say them out loud in your head. What would you say those three things would be? Reading your Bible, going to church, volunteering at a soup kitchen, maybe just, somebody might say, oh, just be a good person, go to Bible study, pray for others. That might be some of the things that popped in your head. Micah, a prophet from the Old Testament, he wrote a little book. It was creatively named Micah. I don't know why he didn't come up with something else, but anyway, that was it. He had the exact same question for God. He asked God, exactly, God, what do you require of me? What do you want me to do? How do I become right with you? And I love his heart because he genuinely wants to know. And then he thinks, we're going to read the scripture here in a minute, but my version of it is like he thinks to himself, oh, do I offer grand offerings like young calves and mini rams or rivers of oil? Oh, I know. What about offering my firstborn child? That's what I can do. Is that what you want of me, God? Is that how we become right? And then God talks to him, and through that, he says, oh, I know. This is what God tells us to do. You guys know the three things? Let's just read it, shall we? We're in Micah 6. We're going to read 6 through 8. To read the simple things that he says that God tells him that we should do to be right with God. Micah 6, starting with verse 6. Good. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Thousands, people, thousands. With 10,000 rivers of oil? That's a lot. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Amen. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. And I love it because in one verse, I have a 3-point sermon for you today. You're welcome. This is so great. It's a pastor's dream.
Yeah.
Before we get into these 3 points, let's talk about Micah for just a minute. Micah, a prophet from a small agricultural town southwest of Jerusalem. His ministry overlaps with Isaiah. You guys heard of him before? Mm-hmm. Isaiah spoke primarily to the urban elite. Micah spoke to the regular folks in the suburbs of Jerusalem. Micah's message calls people to listen to the word of God. You could break up his book into 3 different sections. And at the beginning of each section, he says, listen. He says, listen, you leaders. Listen to what the Lord says. Listen, you people. He's trying to get people's attention. He's saying, hey, listen to me. I've got something important to say. Much of Micah's prophecy is judgment. No kidding, right? That's what all the prophets did. But it was judgment addressed to the capital cities of Judah and Israel, which were Jerusalem and Samaria. Their leaders at the time were not great. They practiced and tolerated false doctrine that led to a false understanding of who God was and the character of God. As a result, injustice was happening all over the place. There was injustice towards the lowly, mistreatment of women and children, unjust business practices, exploitation of the poor. And many of these people that were getting taken advantage of and stepped on by society were like Micah's neighbors. They like lived among him. He was near them. He saw this happening. The rich were living in luxury while the marginalized suffered to pay for extravagances for those that were in power. Micah's prophecy while it was written some hundred years before Jesus came onto the scene, offers us some great wisdom on how to live. These three points offer some great wisdom on how to live and what the Lord requires of us. And with each of these items today, we're going to tie it back to our Savior. Each and every one of these, we're going to see that Jesus did all three of these things. So, let's get started. What does the Lord require of you? The first one, act justly. How do we act justly? What does that mean to act justly? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to answer that for you today. I'm not going to just leave it there. I'm going to fill in the blanks for you, okay? Simply put, this means that we as followers of Christ do what is right. And while it's easy to say, and it sounds super simple, there's deep meaning here and complex challenges for us living in society. Acting justly doesn't have anything to do with our court system or our justice system. Acting justly has everything to do with how we live our lives concerning others. While it's true that acting justly means we are fair, we don't cheat, and that we're honest, that's not the whole story. Biblical justice isn't just about avoiding behaving wrong or incorrectly. I hate to use wrong and right, but I'm going to use it here. So biblical justice isn't about just avoiding wrong. It's about actively pursuing what is right for other people. This means treating people fairly, doing the right thing when it costs you something. It means refusing to take advantage of others and being the voice of those who are minimalized. Acting justly means we recognize everyone is being created by God, loved by God, and valued by God. Everyone, all people, everywhere. That means we listen to those who aren't heard. We include those who have been excluded. We help those that have been left behind. Church, this means that we're active in our communities. If we say we're disciples of Jesus, this is what he requires of us, to be active in our communities, doing what is just and what is right for the betterment of other people. And this may go against the world's view totally.
Yep.
Okay, you're in agreement with me on that statement. But this is our view as followers of Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, let's talk about how Jesus embodies acting justly. This is how he lived, right? He embodied justice, often in bold and uncomfortable ways, because acting justly isn't always easy. In fact, it's probably going to be a little uncomfortable. He pursued justice by physically and spiritually helping those in need. And what I love about his ministry, too, is not only did he minister to the oppressed, he challenged those who were doing the oppressing.
Yeah.
Right? In love, but he challenged people. He had a new idea about how the world was supposed to be and the example he was setting. Some examples of Jesus acting justly. We see Jesus get a little upset about how the poor are being exploited and how the rich are getting richer at the temple.
Yeah.
In a place that was to be where God lived, in the center of their society and their lives, in the temple, there was corruption and exploitation happening. Jesus had seen enough over his 33 years, and he spoke out about it in a very uncomfortable way to those that were around him. Remember him turning over tables and running people out of the temple? "You've made my temple into a den of thieves." He healed on the Sabbath, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Even though the law prohibited it, I know, ooh, right? Why? Because doing something just for a person was more important than rules. He had conversations with those that were looked down upon in society all the time. One I thought of was the Samaritan woman. She had three strikes against her. She was a woman. Gasp, says the crowd. She was a Samaritan. Double gasp, says the crowd. And then she was a woman living with a man who wasn't her husband. Faint, right? Wow. But Jesus has a conversation with her. He approaches her and has a conversation with her. Do you see how Jesus sees people and who they are and the value that they have when society casts them aside and ignores them? That's the life we're called to live, church. In our world today, we need to speak up when someone is being treated unfairly. We need to stand with those who society casts aside. We need to comfort those who are torn down and broken. We need to accompany people who are lonely. Jesus never shied away from this, and we can't either. And it needs to be uncomfortable, honestly. If we don't have uncomfortable moments standing for what is right and acting justly, I challenge you today to dig in a little bit deeper. Connect with others. I'm challenging you, and I'm challenging me today for that. We must act justly, church. I will say this again because this statement resonated with me. That being a disciple of Jesus doesn't just mean avoiding doing wrong. It means actively standing for what is right. Yep. So, church, here's my questions for you about acting justly. In what ways do you need to actively stand up for someone? In what ways do you need to speak instead of staying silent or ignoring something? Are you neutral, comfortable, willfully blind, ignoring the unjust things around you and the suffering of others? I know it's a cliche, but I'm going to say it. If Jesus came across the people that we come across, what would he do? How would he behave? How would he act? How would he stand up for people? How would he fight for them? That's how we need to behave. I honestly and personally feel that we are called as a church to do more. To see people who are unseen, to hear people who are unheard in our world. Jesus needs us to do that. This world needs us to do that. And he, through his example, calls us to do that, to act justly. So if acting justly means what is doing right, loving mercy is about how we respond to people and their decisions that they make. What does the Lord require of you? To love mercy. To love mercy. Not just show it every once in a while when we decide we want to. To love it. The Hebrew word here for mercy is hesed, which has a deep, full meaning. It means steadfast love, loyal kindness, compassion that doesn't give up. Compassion that doesn't give up. And we're to love those things. We're to be in love with those things. We're to love kindness and loyalty. We're to love compassion that doesn't quit. We are to love steadfast love. This isn't the whole, oh, fine, I'll forgive them and walk away. That's not that attitude. I have done that. Fine, I'll forgive you. But this is instead I want to be the kind of person who forgives and have that as a part of my way of life. This is a desire to be different and to be mercy to other people, which means showing mercy and having merciful thoughts automatically. Loving mercy means we don't treat someone the way they deserve to be treated. We treat them better than that. Yeah. And you may say, oh, they hurt me and that's not fair, Pastor. And I'm going to say, yes, I get it. You're right. That's the point. This is not an easy task. I'm not saying that it is. We have to dip into the Holy Spirit in a big way. And it takes full dedication for all of us and a change of heart to not be like the world and to love mercy. And Jesus, he showed mercy, and he was mercy all over the place when you read stories about Jesus. The first example of mercy, showing mercy and loving mercy that comes to me is the woman caught in adultery. Great story in John 8. One of my favorites. I say that all the time, so that's why I had to say that. While everyone else had stones ready to do what was right according to the law, Jesus had mercy in his hands, which was his law to live by. He never denied what she did. He showed her compassion through what she did. He refuses to use her sin to crush her. Instead, he shows her mercy. Ah. And he says to the people who have no answer, by the way, who are you? I mean, if you're without sin, go right ahead. Throw the first stone. And they just all drop their stones and walk away. What about the prodigal son? I preached on that not too long ago. A very well-known parable Jesus gives as an example of God's mercy. Remember in the story how the father, who represents God and Jesus, runs toward the son who did him wrong? Runs towards him. Remember that part? When we love mercy and when people hurt us, we run to them to give them mercy, a great gift. My last example I could think of was Zacchaeus. Remember that guy, short little tax collector? He was a wee little man, correct. He's the worst of the worst as far as sins are concerned. But he wants to see Jesus and he climbed a tree. I won't sing the song for you today. And then Jesus invites himself to his house for dinner. The man who is the worst of the worst has Jesus as a guest at his house. He has a meal with Jesus, which in that time, in that culture, speaks volumes, because you had meals with people who you were closest to, your good friends, your family, on the same rung of society, if you will. To me, when I think of the story and the mercy that Jesus shows Zacchaeus, it showed up to me in relationships. Jesus didn't keep a distance from Zacchaeus. He went and had a meal with him. Mercy doesn't keep distance. Mercy has relationships with people. It's close. Here's the thing. I think we all love getting mercy. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I love getting mercy. I love getting what I don't deserve in a good way. Mercy to me is a free gift that I did nothing for, but I reap the beautiful benefits of. So why is it so hard to give it to other people? We often think, oh, they should have known better. This has happened before. They don't deserve my mercy. I'll forgive, but I'm never going to forget. Those are not ways Jesus behaved. And if you're in this room with me and you want to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to erase those words. Delete, backspace, use an eraser. I don't care how you do it. Because that's not what mercy truly is. And that's not loving mercy as required. Mercy doesn't have conditions. And Jesus just gave mercy out to others because that's who he was. It was automatic. It was who he was. So church, what do you need to do to have mercy be a part of who you are? Where in your life and with whom have you become critical of and not compassionate towards? Are you withholding mercy in your life towards others while all the while accepting all the mercy that Jesus gave you? Do you see how that could be kind of hypocritical? Right? That can make us look different than we want to be seen. I know the hearts of you guys in here. This isn't who we want to be, right? So the same mercy that we've received from God should be what we do and how we give it out to others. And we should love it. We need it and we desire it. It should desire it to be a part of who we are. An automatic response. Just like Jesus had to be a part of who he was and an automatic response. So if we act justly and we do what's right, then we love mercy, and that shapes how we treat people, then walking humbly with God shapes, of course, how we walk with God. So what does the Lord require of you? The third thing, to walk humbly with God. And honestly, to me, this one should be listed first. Because I think this fuels how we do the other two. If we walk humbly with God, the other stuff falls in line. If you walk humbly with God, acting justly and loving mercy seem to just fall in place. So if you want to know how we can really, truly act justly and love mercy, it is by doing this last step here, walking humbly with God. When you walk humbly with God, you recognize your need and your necessity for God. The translated word here for humbly means the lowering of oneself, or to make oneself lower than another. We must daily understand that God is God and we are not. And we have to live in that truth. We must recognize our own limitations and have to live the way that we are called, and to live the way that we are called to live, and using Jesus as our example always, the only way we can do that is we need God. We need Jesus. Walking humbly with God is a lifestyle change where everything we do, say, think is about Christ and how our behavior aligns with his teachings. It's about living a life not about us, but about Jesus and others. And I understand that that's a real easy sentence for me to say. But man, put it into practice. It's a daily effort for all of us. Jesus shows this humility thing all through the Gospels also, right? Jesus gets us right and he shows us how to do this. In John 13, Jesus shows, I think, one of the most humble acts and serves his disciples by washing their feet. Their disgusting, dusty, dirty, sandal-wearing feet. Those of you who don't like feet, you're welcome. But what a beautiful picture of Jesus, God, on earth, being the one who served. Choosing in that moment to serve his disciples. Wow. He wasn't demanding recognition. He wasn't asking for a status. He was serving. He was lowly. He was bent down at their feet. Pastor Tosh just preached a few weeks ago about the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus' humble prayer. You guys remember that? Jesus says, hey, I know this is going to be awful. If there's another plan, we could tap into that. But if not, it's okay. Because I'll put myself second, and God, you'll be first. So whatever you want will lead the way. Not what I want, God, but what you want. That is hard. That's humility. That's living a humble life. Willing to suffer for others. Willing to do what God planned, even though it's going to be horrendous and not the story you want. That's humility. I read once that humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It doesn't mean that we don't see our value and the awesome creations that God has made us. I mean, we are pretty amazing, right? But it means that we don't forget who created us, who lives inside us, who saves us, who loves us unconditionally. So we walk humbly with God, putting ourselves, our desires, our demands, our wants to the side, and we let God just work within us. He is God. We are not. So, church, where are you walking? And are you walking humbly with God? How would it change for you in your day-to-day life, your relationship with others, your relationship with God, if you brought him along with you, humbly accepting his help and his guidance? What decisions in your life do you need to rely on God? Well, that answers all of them, but what decisions in your life do you rely on you, and then, I'll bring God in on some of them, right? All of these things we must do. act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. If I'm to act towards others like Jesus would, and I have to let him guide me, I have to let him be in front. I have to take his example and go with it. I have to remember where I fall in line here. And it's not that I'm not loved and not important. It's that God is greater. We have to oftentimes put our pride aside. Oh, that's so hard. Ugh, I'm sorry I even said it. I'm not sorry I said it. It's hard for me too. We got to put our pride aside, and we need to allow God to help us and walk humbly with him in order to do these things that are required of us. I'm going to leave you with a visual today, a visual aid. You guys know what this is, eh? An easel? Oh, I think it goes this way, but whatever, it doesn't matter. All right, so I brought an easel after I found it, after I walked by it four times before I found it. Anyway, that's a whole other thing for another day. All right, so I brought up this tripod. This easel is a tripod, right? This tripod is standing perfectly because all three of these legs are working. They're in perfect working order, and they're each taking a little bit of the weight, probably 33%, 33 and a third percent of the weight on each of them. Thank you. And each of these legs, if we want to think about this, as we take this sermon away from us today, can represent each one of the things I talked about today. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, right? Do what's right. Choose to live with compassion towards others. Stay close to God. Now, if one of these legs decides it wants to take a break and it doesn't want to work, the whole thing's going to fall, right?
Yes.
If I were to take this away, I don't have a way to do it, but you get the idea, right? If I take this bad boy away, it's just going to fall, isn't it? If I take this one, subsequently that one, you get the idea, right? They all need, three need to be in working order. Without acting just, we see wrong things and we ignore them and do nothing about it. Without mercy, we become harsh and bitter people. And without humbly walking with God, it becomes about us, and God just seems to fade away out of our lives. But when all three things are in working order, we have a life that stands, don't we? We don't have a life that falls over, that's unbalanced. This is how Jesus lived, right here. And this is how we're called to live. This is our example, our visual of these three things working together beautifully to have a standing life. I know I've given you a few things to think about today. At the end of each of those points, a lot of questions coming at you. But think about this. One thing I want you to think about is don't just think about things. Do. All of these things are actions. We must do. And then secondly, I just want you to know, do me a favor, okay? Just strengthen one leg a little bit at a time, okay? You don't have to take on the entire everything and like be perfect in all, we're not gonna be perfect anyway, but like you don't have to take it all on. Just do one thing to act more justly this week. One thing to love mercy this week. One thing to walk humbly and closer to God. Can you do that?
Yep.
Just one little thing. Maybe one little thing every day or one thing every week. Depends on what you're doing and what your life is and what you can take on. God has showed us, church, what is required of us. Jesus has showed us with his life, hasn't he, what's required of us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And when we do, we build a life individually, and we build a church community that stands. And not only does it stand, but it stands tall in a very hurting world. Let's pray. God, thank you for this message, for this scripture out of Micah, and for this reminder of what is required of us. Things in life can be so overwhelming, all the things that we have to think about and do, but God, may this week we really just focus in on these three things, and really, God, if we do these three things, everything is covered. Help us to act justly and not to ignore things that are happening around us, and to make a difference and speak up when we need to. Help us love mercy. Help us become mercy in our world and not hold grudges and become bitter people, but to give people forgiveness even when they don't deserve it, because we've got and received mercy and forgiveness from you when we don't deserve it either. And God, help us to stay close to you and walk humbly with you, putting you at the forefront of everything, God. May you walk right with us, involved in everything within us, God. All our thoughts and our actions and how we interact with other people in the world. Change us today, God, and help us to stand tall in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.